saw a thing in the sporting section of the newspaper, and it's not important. It just seems so dumb, I thought I'd mention it. USA Today is always doing something unnecessary. It's like they can't cover the news. They're going to make some stuff up, and they're going to talk about that. Give, you know, what if Columbus was French? Now, let's spend a few pages on that. See, it just doesn't matter. They're so stupid at USA Today. And why do I use them again? I use them because it's the paper that we can all get, so I don't have to justify, oh, sure, that's what it might have said, some Tulsa paper. But at least this way, you get to read it for yourself. Know that I'm telling the truth. So big headline, no room for clowning in these rings. These idiots. Is there any more cliche-riddled bastards than at the USA Today? God, their headline people should really be taken out and shot. But they listed the 10 worst jobs in sports, and they only got down to number 3. Number 2 is in today's paper. I don't care. The 10 worst jobs in sports. Now, A, who cares? If someone gets up every day and goes to their job, it's the job they've chosen. We are not yet communist China where your job is given to you. These are jobs people chosen. Number 10, mascot. Well, who cares? Yeah, you get in a funny duck suit and you hop around all day, and maybe it is a bad job, but I'll bet people are lined up to do it. I'll bet you if you quit, I'll bet they got the assistant Fred Bird sitting there the next day ready to go to work for you. Cycling, number 9 is cycling sogneur. I'm wild guessing that's got something to do with a concierge for a cyclist. So I guess that's the guy who stands there maybe with a cup of water and gives it to you as you're cycling by. Is that a bad job? Gee, I don't know. Number 8, NFL special teams wedge blocker and buster. Probably makes $250,000 a year. Probably could be worse. They probably give that to the guy with leadership skills that's extremely fast. Probably a powerful guy. So yeah, I don't know. Is that all that bad? Number 7, New York Yankees general manager. Oh, it's so tough because Steinbrenner's a prick and the New York media is a bunch of whores, so yeah, maybe it's a little bit tough, but hey, compare that to a man who works for a living. I'll bet the guy who works for a living has it tougher. Number 6, clubhouse attendant. Don't be stupid. Number 5, Iditarod sled dog. Oh, so now we're doing dogs? The toughest job in sports is a dog? Please, USA Today, believe it or not, you just went down, in my opinion. Number 4, worst job in sports, urine specimen collector. Well, you don't put your hands in it. Don't drink it. How hard is it to hand a cup to someone and say, do something with this cup, put the lid on real tight and give it back to me? There could be worse things in this world. And then number 3, which is what made me decide to just do a couple minutes on this. It's so dumb. Number 3 is a rodeo bullfighter. Now, nutty as it sounds, I got a lot of respect for these guys. These rodeo bullfighters, and I think technically they're talking about the clowns. You know, if a guy, and rodeos are stupid. I know I'm from Oklahoma, and rodeos are stupid, but, you know, it's like, it's a tradition, whatever, and unless they're hurting the animals or whatever, fine, let them have their little tradition. But the rodeo clown, when you get thrown off the bull, when you get thrown off the bull, sometimes the bull is still mad, and sometimes the bull has got these, you know, these 30-inch horns that are maybe not sharp as razors, but they got a point to them. And when the bull comes at you, the rodeo clown jumps in front of that bull. Now, that's a job there. I agree, that is a tough job. To step in front of the charging bull and say, no, attack me. Come into me. Take my ass. I mean, that's a real job. And when you compare it to number 4, the urine specimen collector, I just thought, well, that's a really stupid-ass thing to put in the newspaper, to compare the lady's job of handing a cup to an athlete and then waiting outside the stall while he fills it and then he puts a lid on and gives it back to you and then you leave the room, comparing that job with the guy who jumps in front of the charging bull. I just don't think so.
No more speed, I'm almost there. Gotta keep cool now, gotta take care. Last car to pass, here I go. And the line of cars drove down this slow wall. Radio play that forgotten song. Randall is coming on strong. And the newsman sang his same song. Oh, one more radar lover gone.
Winn-Dixie grocery store chain files Chapter 11. Other grocers are on the brink. Supermarkets have their work cut out for them, they say. The struggling supermarket industry has tossed an unsettling item into its own wobbly cart. Bankruptcy. Don't you hate that kind of writing? Screw you, Bruce Horowitz. The supermarkets put bankruptcy in their cart. Oh, please, just give me 5 minutes with one of these bastards. I'd just like to smack them around. Wouldn't you pay to see that? Wouldn't you go $5 to see me just manhandle some nutty-ass headline writer? These writers that, oh, God, I just can't stand them. What are they doing? Oh, it's for the birds. It's gone to the dogs. Oh, yeah. Winn-Dixie, a mostly southern grocery store chain that once ranked among the most profitable, filed for bankruptcy court protection Tuesday and is expected to close a chunk of its 900 stores. It's a broken, tired brand, said Jason Whitmer, an analyst at FTN Midwest Research. As though that means something to us. Looks like the movie didn't help, jokes Howard Solgank, a supermarket industry consultant, alluding to the new hit film Because of Winn-Dixie, about a girl who takes a dog home from the store and names it after him, and names the dog after the store. Industry analysts say more industry troubles may be in the offing as the $550 billion supermarket world takes a 1-2 punch from consumers opting for low prices at Walmart and perceptions of better quality at trend-setting markets like Whole Foods. Analysts say A&P has financial headaches too. Penn Traffic, which has about 100 stores in Pennsylvania and the Northeast, is emerging from bankruptcy protection. Eagle Food Centers of Milan, Illinois, filed for Chapter 11 in 2003. Supermarkets have their work cut out for them, says David Orgel, editor of Supermarket News. If your only goal is to be lower in prices than Walmart, you don't have much of a future. For Winn-Dixie, the number 16 U.S. chain in sales, according to the Supermarket News, the future seemed clear last month when it posted a larger-than-expected quarterly loss. Even under a new CEO, the chain was unable to quickly fix its stodgy image or remodel its large number of stores worn at the edges. CEO Peter Lynch says he plans to cut operating costs, improve merchandise, bolster customer service, and generate a sense of excitement in the stores. Ooh, how exciting can the damn grocery store be? But industry experts suggest it may take more. They say Winn-Dixie and other supermarket chains need to find a niche. No longer can supermarkets successfully be all things to all people. They need to stop selling food as a commodity. Stores that gear towards the new consumer are doing best. Develop strong store brands. Powerful signature items draw shoppers. Sell ethnic foods. Hispanic and Asian foods now have broad cultural acceptance, said Tara Wiener, who spots consumer trends at Deloitte and Touche. Stay nimble. A grocer has to stay current, says this one guy. Winn-Dixie found a spot and never budged from it. Keep store sparkling. You'd be amazed how cleanliness of the floor will determine if someone shops in your store. This dude says, the little grocery stores are having a lot of trouble because of the big 1-2 punch. You got the economy of George the Monkey, and you've got Walmart kicking in the doors of every small business in every small town. America could probably survive Walmart, but can America survive Bush? He continues to borrow money from other countries to give to the super rich. The little people like me and you have to pay that money back. I don't have kids. Maybe you do. Your kids are going to be paying back Bush's trillion-dollar loans to the Chi-Coms. Bush is borrowing this money from the Chinese, billions at a time, trillions at a time, just so he can give it to his super-rich friends. And if the middle and lower-class people don't like it, well, they can just finance a military operation and overthrow the United States government and pull Bush out of power. That's his solution to everything. My way or the highway. If you don't like what I'm doing, move to Cuba. That's how Bush runs America. If you don't want me to borrow money with your signature and give to the super-rich who don't need it, they're already super-rich. It's too bad we don't have a Democrat that can state the obvious. If a guy is worth $500 million and you give him $50 million, what's he going to do with it? Go hire a bunch of people? No, he's not going to do that. He's going to buy some property in New Zealand with it. What the hell else is he going to do with an extra $50 million? When you have $500 million, you already have what you want. You don't need to buy anything else. So Bush figures to save the economy, he'll give the people who don't need any more, more. The people who can't get health care, the people who can't get jobs, people who can't get training, screw them. It just continues. It goes on and on. You figure at some point a Democrat's going to stand up and say enough. Well, maybe not. Maybe it'll be a Republican that finally stands up and says enough. But how in the world are we going to come out of this tailspin? The Democrats show no sign of getting any smarter now than they were in 2000 or 2004. So unless things change, a Republican will probably win in 2008, probably Jeb, because the BFEE is not going to surrender control. They're just not going to do it. Whoever wins in 2008 is going to owe the Bush family, no matter what. A guy like McCain doesn't have a chance. Anyone who's ever criticized the Bush family does not have a chance in 2008, because they're going to put all their hundreds of billions of dollars behind their boy so they can continue to steal hundreds of billions of dollars. That's just an investment for them. They'd be crazy not to do it. Here's another economic headline. Sharp 1-2 punch takes Dow down hard. Spike in oil prices and the sagging dollar costs worst drop since May of 2003. Hurt by a lethal combination of sharply higher oil prices and a slumping U.S. dollar, the Dow Jones suffered its steepest decline in 21 months. With 29 of its 30 components posting losses for the day, the Dow declined 170 points to 10,600, its worst drop since May 2003 when it fell 185 points. The Dow is down 1.6 for the year. Well, it's always going to be down under the monkey. They're always going to tell you how the Dow does for the year, how the Dow does since 2003, how the Dow does since 2001. They're not going to tell you how the Dow is doing, how Bush's Dow is doing against Clinton's Dow, because you can't compare Bush to Clinton. Clinton was all success and Bush is all failure. So they can only compare failure. You know, if Johnny got a 40 on a test score and he got a 50 on the next score, you don't say, hey, moron, you failed again. You say, oh, Johnny's up 10 points. That's what they're doing with this monkey president. They won't say that he's still a failure, having gone from 40 to 50. They tell you, oh, Bush scores up 25%. Bright days ahead. The media, they keep pumping this monkey for no reason, and he's killing us. The sell-off sparked concern among some traders and money managers that difficulty... Ready? The sell-off sparked concern among some traders and money managers that difficulty lies ahead. The up-and-down start of 2005, they say, is reminiscent of how the market behaved last year, when stocks fared poorly until major uncertainties such as the presidential election and the direction of long-term interest rates turned out more favorably than expected. Wait, the presidential election turned out more favorably than expected? I guess if you're Adam Schell at the USA Today, that's true. It will take time to see if the market's latest fears will come true or not. Like last year, the market will probably bounce around in trading range until they're convinced the world will not fall apart. Yeah, the world's going to be convinced that with Bush the monkey in the White House, please. Big fears for stocks this year include gushing oil prices. The biggest culprit blamed for Tuesday's sell-off was skyrocketing crude prices. A barrel of crude closed above the psychologically important $50 level for the first time this year. Investors had forecast a decline of prices in 2005. What investors? Who in the world is going to predict lower oil prices while this guy is in the White House? The spike rekindled fears of higher prices at the pump would crimp both consumer spending and profits at energy-dependent companies. Another fear, a possible flight of foreign investors. The dollar slumped sharply Tuesday against foreign currencies on news that South Korea was planning to sell a slice of its dollar reserves to diversify its holdings. The news prompted investors to wonder if other countries would act in a similar manner, which would reduce their holdings in U.S. financial assets. Bottom line, you can't put your money in America while it's being run by a monkey. Everybody knows this. It's so obvious. A continued fall in the dollar would be worrisome because it likely would push up interest rates, says Andy Brooks, a liar from T. Rowe Price. Lastly, a sharp uptick in inflation. The market will be closely watching Tuesday's release of the Consumer Price Index, or CPI. Last week, a surprise jump in wholesale inflation. The Producer Price Index, or PPI, upset financial markets. Especially hard hit was the Treasury bond market, where prices fell sharply, pushing yields up. The 10-year Treasury note yield hit 4.29%, up from 3.98% February 9th. So bottom line, oil prices are going up. The value of the dollar is going down. You'd be an idiot to bet on America right now. You can't bet on America with a Republican in the White House, because the Republican in the White House, his job is to put people out of work so people will beg for a job. Women will sleep with men for a job. Guys will come over and mow your lawn and wash your car for free if you agree to give them a job. People have to have jobs. They are desperate. They'll do anything for a job, and the rich like it when that happens. That and the spike in oil prices. You know, oil's going to 100 and then it's going to 120. I've said it 100 times. You need to buy oil stock. Oil stock is going nowhere but skyrocketing up. You don't put a monkey in the White House to stabilize oil prices. You put him in the White House to fake a war in the Middle East so prices go through the roof. Oil used to be 20 just a few years ago. Now it's 50. It's going to be 100 and then 120. But the next time I do a radio show, it could be 60. Probably says more about my ability to crank out a radio show than the economy. But Bush is killing this country. The Democrats don't seem to mind. The networks don't seem to mind. Won't somebody do something? One more note about the economy. I should have done this first. Big headline, Wednesday's paper. Oil prices register swift, puzzling rise. Please. Who is surprised that oil prices are quickly going up? Who is surprised? Apparently, Barbara Hagenbaugh at the USA Today financial page is so surprised that oil prices went up. How could this have happened? She wonders. Theories include uncertainty, cold weather, and the falling dollar. Gee, theories wouldn't include Bush's insane money snatch, would it? No, that couldn't possibly affect anything. The idea that Bush is borrowing trillions from the Chinese to give to the super rich, nah, couldn't be a factor in uncertainty. Couldn't be a factor in the falling dollar. Just couldn't be. Oil prices jumped above $50. Oil prices jumped above $50 a barrel Tuesday, posting the biggest one-day increase in more than 4 years, finishing the day at the highest level in nearly 4 months. Although energy analysts question whether the high prices would stick, oh, they're going to stick. Don't be stupid. What's wrong with you people? Ask a 9-year-old if the price of oil is coming down soon. The gains still were not good news for consumers and businesses that have seen wild swings in energy costs during the past few years. No, fuck wild swings. It's going up. If it goes up $4 and it comes down 50 cents, that's not a wild swing. That's just up. What is wrong with the idiots at the USA Today? They are so pro-Bush, they've got shit coming out their ears. As a consumer, I would fill up my gas tank today before I went home, said Phil of Al-Aran Trading. Prices for crude oil in March delivery rose to $51 a barrel in New York on Tuesday, up $2.80 or 6% from Friday's close. So oil went up 6% since Friday, and they can't figure out how that could have happened. It was such a shock that oil prices went up with President Oil and Vice President Oil faking wars in the Middle East. Who knew that would make the price of oil go up? They are shocked at the USA Today financial section. Oil prices have risen 26% from the recent low on December 10th. Now see, again, they're not going to compare Bush's oil prices to Clinton's oil prices because that would make Bush look stupid, inept, and greedy. So they're not going to do that. They're only going to compare Bush's oil prices today to Bush's oil prices a month ago or a year ago or 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. They're not going to touch any kind of comparison that would put this monkey's idiocy in context. Oil prices have risen 26% from the recent low on December 10th and are up nearly 50% from a year ago. 50% in 1 year. And they are shocked that they're going to continue to rise. Who could tell that the sun coming up in the morning would cause the day to heat up? Who could know? Rising oil costs have led to higher prices for a range of energy goods. Tuesday, the Energy Department said the average price of regular was $1.90, up 22 cents from a year ago. So we lost, what, 1,000 boys in the last year defending our right to steal oil from Iraq? And gas gone up 22 cents. Why? Why are we fighting? The more we fight, the higher gas goes. I have an idea. Let's bring the boys home and let the price of gas fall. Oh, I'm a radical Leninist Stalinist to have an idea like stop fighting so the price of oil come down. I'm just anti-American. One other tiny little economic sidebar you might be interested in. The Canadian dollar has risen 28% against the U.S. dollar in the past 2 years. Canada's dollar has risen 28% compared to ours. Now, why is that? Could it be because Canada's not being run by a war monkey, an oil man whose goal is to steal the oil, kill the people, and super enrich the already enriched? Canada's not like that. Canada doesn't invade countries to steal oil. Canada doesn't borrow trillions from China to give to their richest Canadians. No, Canada has a sane government. Canada has a government where people raise their voice if they're getting screwed to death. It's very unlike the United States, where we, according to Bush, Kerry, and the networks, we wanted the super rich to get more billions. We wanted to finance the super rich getting new yachts, new Rolls Royces, new houses in Kennebunkport. We all chose to do that, according to Kerry, Bush, and the networks. We also asked the government if they could please cut back on things like meat inspectors and air traffic controllers, and we don't want any more fresh paint on the highways, and we don't need as many cops because we want the super rich to have more money. Now, see, they don't do that in Canada. So Canada's dollar is up 28%, while the United States dollar is dropping like a fucking stone in the water. And we just take it in America because the networks tell us Bush is a great man, Bush is a great leader. Whenever Bush gives a speech, they showed this on The Daily Show last night. Bush was giving some kind of economic talk, one of those small town, town hall kind of meetings. And person after person stood up, "Oh, Mr. President, you're just the greatest person ever. I'm so glad your leadership is so strong." Next guy, "Oh, Mr. Bush, you're just the greatest president we ever have. I'm so proud that you're a president. I'm so glad to have you lead us into battle." And next guy, "Oh, Mr. Bush, you're just the greatest ever." And this is what the networks pump out again and again. The entire nation rallying behind the monkey so he can borrow more from the Chinese to give to the super rich and screw the little people. How does this keep happening? The reason the Canada's dollar is up 28%, they don't do that. But we do it here. We love it here. We love misery. Up is down, black is white. War is good. Peace is evil. Clinton's peace and prosperity, it was all a sham. Bush's death and recession, that's America. "It's a weird day," says Bill O'Grady, director of future research at A.G. Edwards. "It's so difficult for me to justify these prices based on inventory levels and season." Oh, by the way, I got a thunderbolt for the heads of the oil companies. Come May and June, the kids are going to be out of school, and people are going to go on vacation. They're going to put more gas in their car than they usually would. Thought I'd mention that, because every year, the day before Memorial Day, gas goes up 15 cents, and when someone asks why, they say, "Unexpected demand." So I thought if I'd mention this in February, you greedy bastards might open the spigots up a little bit. No, but you can't make enough money taking care of demand. You have to create a shortage artificially with the president's backing to make more. Remember a show or two back how many extra billions the oil companies made? And they're all going to blame it on the cost of the war. The war can make prices go up. It doesn't make profits go up. Greed makes profits go up. Some theories. How did oil rise so fast? The dollar has fallen 25% against a basket of major currencies in the past 3 years. Continued to slide Tuesday. Yes, the dollar is going to slide until the monkey is out of the White House. cold. Cold weather in parts of the USA and other regions of the world was expected to lead to growing demand, and yeah. Guess what? It gets cold every fucking winter. Don't act like, oh, who knew January, February, it would get cold. We were shocked. We were shocked when we heard that it was going to be cold this winter. Why? It got below freezing up in the Northeast. We couldn't believe it. We were blindsided by the cold weather in the winter in the North. So we had to raise prices. Uncertainty. Continued political uncertainty in the Middle East, Russia, and other producing areas also seen as propping up oil prices as investors worry about the ability of major producers to meet demand, improving economies in the USA. Oh, please. Asia and parts of Europe are expected to lead to greater oil demand in the coming months. Oh, I get it. On the bottom of the page, sharp 1-2 punch takes Dow down hard, and Winn-Dixie files Chapter 11, other grocers on the brink. But at the top of the page, oil prices are going up because of the improving economies in the United States. Isn't that interesting? The whole world's turning to shit because the world's turning to shit, and the prices of oil have to go up because things are so great. Like they need a reason to raise the price of oil. You know, when Clinton was in office, we were drowning in cheap oil. People say, well, Bart, if that's the case, why didn't Clinton do something about the energy crisis? Well, we didn't have an energy crisis under Clinton because they fucking knew better. They knew if they raised prices, Clinton would appoint a committee or open some hearings or something. They'd say, look here, we just found 25% savings in the price of gas. I'll be damned. No hearings necessary, Mr. President. That's all it took. But when you got a president who's in on the take, when you got a president who gets a piece of the illegal pie, oil prices are going to go through the roof. That's going to keep happening. If you love your family, buy stock in gold and buy stock in oil. I don't understand how that works. If you buy futures or if you buy oil mutual funds, I don't know how that works. Ask your broker dude. Ask whoever, if you got a guy that handles your money, ask him what to do with it. But you want to trust old Bart. You want to go heavy in gold. You want to go heavy in oil. Go heavy in anything that the BFEE is into, because they've got the power, they're not going to give it up, and they're going to make trillions. Last thing in closing, crowd does the wave. Remember, right before they got caught stealing $500 million a day, Enron was out to get the fresh water rights for Southern California. I think gold, oil, and fresh water, those are the three things that are going to be worth all the money in the coming years. So any other thing you got your eye on, it pales in comparison. Gold, oil, and fresh water. That's from your Bart Kopp analyst, super economic expert right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Wanted to say a thing or two about racism and politics in sports. First item up, Barry Bonds. It's my opinion he has used steroids, but I'm not going to be like that Mama Judd who knows it for a fact because I wasn't there. If I was there, I would have said, Barry, don't do the drugs. But since I wasn't there, I can only guess. But I'm thinking he might be guilty. If you saw that press conference last week, when I started asking him about it, he says, I don't even know what cheating is. Which is about as dumb a thing to say as I'm not sure about the meaning of the word is. But old Barry, he's caught. He can't get out of it. And so he can't say. He's in a position, he's in that bad position where he just can't talk about it. But according to the league rules, he's got to have a press conference. So he's stuck. It would be my guess he did some steroids at a certain point in his career, but he can't say that. I think a lot of this gets down to racism. Funny, it's been pretty obvious over the decades that people in baseball are using steroids, but it didn't become a problem until he got ready to eclipse the white guy, Babe Ruth's, all-time home run record. With any kind of luck, he's also going to pass Hank Aaron. But the reason he can't, if he says anything about, okay, I might have done a couple of steroids, then they're going to say when, what year, from what month to what date to what, you know, and then they'll go back and say, well, by our estimation, you hit 109 home runs in that year or two that you were, that you say you were using the steroids. So we need to subtract those 109 off of your total. I think that's why he can't speak out. And you know, I have nothing against Barry Bonds. At first, I didn't like him because they said he was the most hated man in baseball, which I don't know. I don't, we don't get a lot of Barry Bonds news here, especially before the home run race, we didn't. And I thought, well, if he's the most hated man in baseball, he probably deserves it. I mean, go figure. And then when he started hitting all the home runs, I'm thinking, well, if he's the most hated man in baseball, they must be trying to throw around him. And if they're trying to walk him and throw around him and throw pitches at his head, and he's still hitting 73 home runs a year, at least in one year, then he must be one hell of a baseball player. So I kind of got back on his side. But now he's stuck. And I think it's because he's a black man. They just can't let the black man win. And I know I can hear some of you groaning, but it's just that way. We talked about this before, that no matter who you are, I mean, Muhammad Ali got big, he had to be broken. Bill Cosby, I think since the last time we talked about that, he got, had to be slapped down. You know, Mike Tyson had to be slapped down. Everybody, Malcolm X had to be shot down, same for Martin Luther King, but if they can't shoot you down, they're going to slap you down. And it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've accomplished, somehow they're always going to, and you know, you figure Jesse Jackson, the list is endless. You can't name a prominent black man who hasn't been dragged through the mud. And I don't think it's a matter of that all, well, maybe it is a matter that all men are sinners, but it's just the white guys, they don't get the microscope. They don't get zeroed in on. We don't have to know every bad thing Mickey Mantle ever did, but we have to know every bad thing Barry Bonds ever did because he's black, and that's different. And I just don't think it's right. But Barry's got that trouble now. He's going to beat, probably, going to beat the home run record, and then they're going to start talking about let's put an asterisk in the record books. But, you know, I don't know. Are steroids illegal? I don't even know. Well, I've done them. I mean, they can't be. I had a hip pointer, and I don't even know what that is, but I had a pain in my hip, geez, in the mid-80s. And so the doctor gave me some prednisone, which made the it's an anti-swelling, or I don't even know what it does. But steroids by themselves are not bad. Apparently long-term use, using too many, now they're bad. But if your doctor gives you some steroids, that doesn't mean you're a lawbreaker. You're, you know, you're going to hell. So steroids by themselves aren't bad. And if I'm not mistaken, it's still legal to do steroids in baseball. The players union is dragging their feet. They don't want the players tested. So in that context, isn't it okay to do steroids? It might be bad for the player, but if the league refuses to test against it, then why should a player not use every opportunity at his disposal? We can argue about whether or not it's morally right to take steroids and bulk yourself up and hit more home runs. But if the players refused, but if baseball refuses to test the players, how are you going to fault the guy for doing something that the league does not prohibit? Funny, they prohibit marijuana. If you're caught with marijuana, now it's a big crime. But if you're caught with steroids that shrink up your testicles and give you all these other problems, they don't care. As long as it's not a, oh, if it's a marijuana cigarette, now we got crime. Now we got trouble. We must stop the world. Someone lit a joint. Oh, please don't let it happen to us. It's just so idiotic, the illogical drug laws in this country. But Barry Bonds, so what's he going to do? Every time he hits a home run this year, they're going to talk about the steroids. But until the Players Union makes it illegal, how are you going to blame the guy? So Barry, even though my man Mark McGwire hit a bunch of home runs, if you can beat him, then hey, you're the champ. To me, it's like Clinton and his economic miracle. We don't have to explain it. If the ball goes over the fence for Barry Bonds, the ball goes over the fence. In bowling, if the pin drops, you get credit for it. When you're playing pool, if the ball goes in the pocket, you get credit for it. So Barry Bonds, even though you're a really, really bad explainer, even though you handle a press conference about like how Bush does, if it's not illegal for you to do the steroids, ride on, brother. Do what you want.
Don't touch that dial. Though you don't have a dial because you're probably listening to this on the computer.